Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Addictions of any kind can short-circuit us spiritually, and worse, can short-circuit a marriage. And only when addictions are broken can we be free. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Pastor Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle, why commitment can do what love can't. Now, let's listen to more of a message on the puzzle of addictions. The first two chains that hold the addict bound are euphoria and self-worship.
Third, denial. I've told you before that denial isn't just a river in Egypt. Denial exists in all families, but there's nowhere where it is found as much as in an alcoholic family, a drug-infested family, a family where there's immorality or incest going on. And the denial is this. First of all, the person who's doing it shifts responsibility. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's my employer's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's circumstances. It's God's fault. And so he fails to take responsibility. He doesn't own what he's doing because he's blind to it. Remember, the blinding self-absorption of sin. What a description. So you see, he lives in this cocoon, and the cocoon isolates him and insulates him from all of the lies that he has so willingly believed. He loves these lies. He tells himself lies, and he keeps believing these lies. You know, in the New Testament, there is the light-darkness motif. Jesus used it. Someday, I want to study this even in more detail. You know, Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know that he said that. Imagine that, men love darkness, because he says they don't want to come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. Come with me to Mexico more than 40 years ago. I had a sister and brother-in-law who were missionaries there, and so I went to visit them, and we stayed in a motel. And this motel had a kitchenette in it with two or three bedrooms. We went out one evening, we came back, we flipped on the light. There must have been 100 roaches with all of their aunts and their uncles and their kids. All of them were on that kitchen counter. And they just scattered like that. In 2 seconds, you couldn't see a roach. They knew exactly where the cracks were, they knew where the holes were, and everybody was running for cover. Maybe some of you are feeling that like that today. You may be listening on the internet. You may be listening by radio, and you say, this is going to get very difficult for me, and you'd like to bail out. There's a big difference, though, between you and a roach. Let me tell you that you, my friend, are created in God's image. You are important. You're going to live somewhere forever. You are a human being in the image of God. And you are loved by God. Would you let God put his arms around you today and pull you close and say, come to me. Don't let your addiction draw you away from me, but may it be the means by which you are brought to me. Now, with that background of light and darkness, let's go into the characteristics of darkness. Now, we're in 1 John. I could have used many different passages to preach this because the whole storyline of the Bible has to do with sin and redemption. And once we understand, you know, that an addiction is the self-absorption of sin, then there's hope. If it's just a sickness, we have no guarantee that God always heals sicknesses. But sin, that's another matter. He's got a good cure for that. But notice it says in 1 John, this is 1 John now, chapter 1, and it would be on page 1021, I believe, in your pew Bibles there. You should be following. This is the message that we heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, folks, I can't go any farther than that without making a comment. Are your Bibles open? Do you see the text? Do you remember some grammar? Kid said to another, who made a grammatical error. Where's your grammar? He said, she's up there with Grandpa. Do you remember the meaning of the word antecedent? Doesn't it refer, when you have a pronoun, it refers to the antecedent? Now listen, let's read this again. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as God is in the light, that's the he, very clearly. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, you'll notice it says, we have fellowship with one another. Most interpreters say, oh, that means I have fellowship with you and you have fellowship with me. But that's not the antecedent. The antecedent is God. If we walk in the light, and light here refers to God's purity and his holiness, if we walk in the light as God is in the light, guess what? We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God, and God has fellowship with us. Can it get any better than that? If you were to die, what would you like to have on your tombstone? I think the greatest honor, and it won't be on mine because I don't think I'm worthy of it, but could you imagine a tombstone that says, he or she walked with God? Oh, can't believe it. Last night I was outside praying in the evening, and there were the stars, and I thought, wow, to walk with God. If I accomplish nothing, if I don't preach any sermons, if I don't write any books, if I can just walk with God and he has fellowship with me and I with him, that's the end of it. I mean, there's nothing more. Now notice, though, what are the characteristics of darkness? I'm going to give you some characteristics of darkness there in verse 6, and then we're going to go into characteristics of light, and then I'm going to paint the picture of how you go from darkness to light. Aren't you glad you joined us today? First of all, characteristics of walking in darkness. What are those characteristics? Shame. Some of you were brought up in what could be called a shame-based home where there was alcoholism and drugs, and you had to keep the secret for the rest of the family, and you've lived with shame. And that shame dogs you. And that is all false shame, by the way. It's shame imposed upon you. Parents have so much power to impose false shame on children. I could give examples. But there's some things that you and I have done that we should be ashamed about. Some shame is good. It should lead us to God. But imagine living your whole life and shame. Secondly, fear. Fear of being discovered. Fear of giving up your addiction. I've talked to people who said, I am my addiction. The thought of me doing without this bottle is unthinkable. It is there. When I'm rich and when I'm poor, and usually it makes me poor when I'm rich, but it is there for me. And so this addiction becomes, you see, the basis of our identity. Some of you are into sexuality, various forms. You say, the sexuality is who I am. How do you expect me to give that up? And so you fear what would happen if God were to invade your life. Let me give you a third characteristic of darkness, and that is huge. Self-deception. Self-deception. In fact, the Bible says here, if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar. That's in verse 10. And elsewhere it says, we deceive ourselves. In fact, verse 6, we have fellowship with him. If we say we do, while we walk in darkness, we lie. Huge self-deception. How does an addict live with self-deception? Couple of self-suggestions that he lives with. First of all, self-deceptions, I should say. A couple of them. Number one, I can quit whenever I want. I'm in charge. That's a lie. Of course you're not in charge. The addiction is. You're like Mark Twain, who said, of course I can give up smoking. I've done it 1,000 times. Sure. The self-deception that you are in charge when you're not. Let me give you another, and that is consequences. I can handle the consequences. I'll follow the devil today, and I'll deal with God tomorrow and handle the consequences. Somebody said a man who is committing adultery, who is being unfaithful to his wife, is like somebody who chooses to jump out of the 60th floor of a high-rise. And after he gets enough nerve to jump out of the 60th floor, he says to himself as he passes the 25th floor, oh, this is great. The exhilaration really is wonderful. But he's on the 25th floor, and you know where he's going, onto the street. So you see, addicts, they rationalize it all. I can take care of it. And so what you have is shame, fear, and huge, massive self-deception. Well, if that's what walking in darkness is, what does walking in light mean? You'll notice it says, God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, if we deny that part of us, if we deny that part of us that is dark, we can't have fellowship with him. We lie, we do not practice the truth, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So what does it mean to walk in the light? First of all, light reveals to us who we are. You've had the experience, and we used to, as children, when we used to go to a town, you realize that I was born on a farm 6 miles from a town of 75 people. Going to town was great. It had a store where we could buy some candy and gum, but it also had a street light. And, you know, as kids, you could go away from the street light and you'd have this long shadow. In fact, you couldn't even see the end of the shadow. But as you came closer, the shadow became shorter and shorter. And then when you stood right under the street lamp, basically there was no shadow. You see, light reveals who we are. Because it's not who I say I am, it's who God says I am. Light comes, you see. And darkness is what I think of myself, and light is what God thinks of me. He sees me in the light. So as I come to the light with my darkness, the shadows become shorter. And suddenly I'm revealed as to who I am. But I stand there, and I finally acknowledge that God was right about me. But if I deny the shadows, if I don't admit that there are no shadows, then I can't walk in the light. We really are interesting as human beings, aren't we? Because as I mentioned last time, all of us have some darkness, and it's very difficult for us to admit it. Those of you who are in addictions, you will discover that it is oftentimes shame that makes you hide and cower in corners, so to speak. And God wants us to be changed. He wants us to come to the light. And what a wonderful privilege we have, an opportunity to do that. Now I need to tell you that Running to Win is committed to helping all of us make it across the finish line by coming to the light. And Running to Win is not only in English. We're very grateful that it is heard throughout Central and South America as well. And we've been so encouraged with a response. But it's not my ministry. It is, of course, God's ministry, but it's also your ministry. Thank you for the many who stand with us. Would you go to moodymedia.org? Perhaps you've never connected with us before. Go to moodymedia.org. Look around on our website. Connect on Endurance Partners. Become a part of what we are doing as we are shedding light in a dark world.
Erwin Lutzer with more on The Puzzle of Addictions, part of our series on the marriage puzzle. The human mind can easily deceive itself, especially when addicted to a substance or a behavior. Next time, facing up to our self-deception. The Marriage Puzzle Series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.